So one of the characteristics of the Aquarian age is that we will know more through energy, through vibration. So I always say in my class to the people practicing together, I always say, people will know you from your aura. People will know you from your magnetic field, your vibration, your frequency. That's how we will start recognizing each other. So forget about printing those cards of presentation, only if you want people to remember you. But it's not the way people will know you anymore. No. People will know you for your frequency.
Welcome to the Hugo Sisters podcast. This is Kat, and today we have another English episode for you. And we are talking about energy and the power of our subconscious. And today I invited Mariana Salinas in our podcast, a very impressive and inspiring woman from Mallorca. Actually, I met her through Kundalini Yoga. I joined her Kundalini Yoga sessions in the studio she has in Palma de Mallorca. It's called Sadhana Works, and it's a school of consciousness. And I have to say that the first time I met this woman, I was very, very inspired and touched by her energy. I thought, hey, I need to talk with this woman about exactly this topic, about energy. And Mariana is very convinced that energy is actually the language of the future. And right now, maybe if you are a little bit into astrology, we just entered the Aquarius age. And one of the characteristics of the Aquarius age is, according to Mariana, that we will know more through energy, that people will actually know you from your aura, from your magnetic field, your vibration, your frequency. That's how we will start recognizing each other. And Mariana is sharing a lot of wisdom with us in this episode, also regarding Kundalini Yoga, because this is a practice that is a lot about energy. And it can really help us to strengthen our system, our energy, in order, to be able to deal with the challenges of life that we are all facing. Mariana is sharing with us how we can strengthen our energy, and also how exploring our relationship with our ancestors, especially with all the women in our lineage, can support us in that. Mariana says that it's very important that we really honor all the women in our lineage and all the experiences they made, all the pain they went through, all the losses, all the sufferings, and that now, as women living in this era, we actually have the chance to live differently and to change the narrative and to change this identity, and that we're actually not just doing this for us, but also for all the women who came before us. And that is something that really touched me, and also how Mariana is talking about the power of our subconscious, how she's really encouraging us to trust that power, to trust that inner voice, to trust that gut feeling, because it's definitely telling us the truth. So I hope you will be as inspired as I am through this episode. Have fun diving into this topic. Mariana, welcome to the Hugo Sisters podcast. I'm very happy to have you here. And we've met through yoga, Kundalini Yoga. You are a teacher and also the founder of Sadhana Works, which is, you call it a school of consciousness in Palma de Mallorca. And that's how we met, and I've experienced your Kundalini sessions. And for me, it's a very special energy that comes from you. And also because it's not just the yoga, not just the movement, it's also your talks in the beginning and in between, that I felt very inspired, and I thought, whoa, I need to talk to this woman and invite her to the podcast. So happy to have you.
I'm very, very, very happy to be with you. As I was sharing with you just before we started this recording, I think, well, first of all, the name of your podcast, I think it's brilliant. I just love it because it immediately calls upon sisterhood, right? It calls upon women communities, and I think this is pretty much what we urgently need to bring to the table with everything that is going on in the world right now. So I think in just one name, you're already doing like a whole statement. And I love that. I thought it was so brilliant. And also what we were sharing is how we women, we are so comfortable sharing with each other and just having conversations. And I'm just thrilled. This is what I love to do. This is really what I love to do, is having nice, honest, real conversations. And I think this is what you bring. Just your presence is so transparent that I know what we're doing here. It's really an, you know, a kind of profound way of communicating what's your purpose, mine, how we come together, and how we together can bring something better for ourselves, for the community, for wherever we are, wherever people is listening from.
Yeah, and what I also find beautiful is what you wrote about the space here, the School of Consciousness, that it's important to you to create spaces for reflection and for practice. And I think, yeah, that's another parallel that with this podcast, we also want to create spaces for reflection and, yeah, just talking about things. And yeah, I was very impressed when I got to know Sadhana Works and this whole approach, and also when I read things about you. I mean, you're a psychotherapist, but you also have a PhD in modern literature. Yeah. So
how
did you get here?
I always say it in a kind of a joke, but not really a joke, that I had such a low self-esteem that I needed to do so many degrees, like 2 master's degrees, 1 PhD. And it's true. I mean, I'm very, very happy that I did all that, because now, of course, those are tools that I use to serve others. But I can also see how back then, when I was studying so hard and doing so many, yeah, like putting together all these titles, in a way was kind of, I was trying also to cover some of the insecurities that I also had. And I think that is very common, especially for women. I think we grow up always feeling we have to kind of achieve our sense of belonging, our sense of self-esteem or value. I come from Mexico, and of course in Mexico that it's even more because it's still Latin America with all its richness and its cultural amazing things. I think for women it's still a place of a lot of disadvantages. So I can see myself how I needed, there was like this very subconscious, very unconscious need to kind of prove myself. And I did it. I mean, at the end, I did 2 master's degrees. I did the PhD. And as I was saying, of course, I am very happy now. But I'm not happy because I have them.
Yeah.
I am happy now because I have found my way to feel good with myself and then use those assets as tools. You know, they don't define me. It's not like I feel like, oh, I'm a PhD, I'm a doctor, that defines me. No, that's only a tool that I can now use to serve others, to do what I love to do, that it's building this project of Sadhana Works, of having this healing room where we are having this conversation now, having the center there for practice, yoga, community. So in a way, I think we don't, I'm glad I have all those titles, but I don't think we need them to do all the things we can do to serve others. But yes, I studied psychotherapy, and the PhD that I did was in something that I now find more interesting even than when I was doing it. Okay. When I was doing it, I was like, I was fascinated with the topic, and I knew I had that intuition that it was an interesting topic. But now I find it fascinating because finally I'm going to use it for something.
Yeah.
And that is, the PhD was all about how we use language to build identities, cultural identities. Mm-hmm. And back then was only kind of a dissertation as you do in a PhD. But now that I live here in Mallorca for the last 6 years, now it really makes sense that I have that PhD, because one of the main kind of missions for Sadhana Works is to collaborate in building a new narrative mm-hmm. for this island. Mm-hmm. I think this island has so much value, so much richness, so much magic, so much spirituality, so much beauty. Mm-hmm. And yet, unfortunately, when we look from outside, Germany, for example, or other parts of Europe, the narrative has been that Mallorca is a place of sun, beach, daiquiri, or whatever they drink in, I don't know, I've never been Magaluf, and, or these areas that it's all about, you know, like party and... And I think Sadhana Works is here to contribute, mm-hmm. one of many people who can do that, or companies who will do that, contribute to build a new narrative around the true essence of Mallorca. Mm-hmm. And I'm a foreigner, I don't have the right to say what's the essence of Mallorca.
Yeah.
But I can help like you know, like an investigator, that you go and you pick up stones and you start seeing what's underneath the stone, and then you see, oh my God, there's so much value and magic and spirituality and tradition. And for me, it's putting Sadhana Works as a platform where people can find that Mallorca, that other Mallorca that is more connected to the earth,
yeah.
more connected to its tradition, to its spirituality, to... It's more like a pilgrimage to come to this island more with a attitude of a pilgrim mm-hmm. than only party or, you know. Yeah. I'm sure people will continue, of course, to do that. And it's okay. It's not bad or good. Who are we to say that? But I believe we can add something new, mm-hmm. something different. That it, for me, in my humble, very humble opinion, reflects more the identity of this island. So finally, that PhD between narrative and identity makes sense. So see, now I'm glad I had a low self-esteem that I needed to do that PhD, and that would, everything makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think in our life is like that, no? We look back and you see, oh my God, I needed to go through that pain or that low self-esteem or that breakup or whatever,
yeah.
and then at some moment, if you do the right things, it all makes sense.
Yeah exactly. And maybe not immediately, it takes time, and then it comes when you least expect it, and you're like, wow, okay, everything makes sense now.
Exactly. We need to look back and forgive ourselves first, or at least that has been my experience. First, it's a deep process of self-forgiving. Mm-hmm. And self-forgiving not only for the acts or things, stupid things I've done. Self-forgiving because I was so far away from my essence.
Yeah.
So far away from my true self. Mm-hmm. And that is, okay, I forgive myself. I was away from home, you know?
Yeah, and I think it can be a very painful experience also to realize that even. Yeah, and then to go into the position to say, hey, you did your best at that given time.
Exactly. At least we are given the chance of going back, like... I think we are all born with a star, everybody. Honestly, I don't think we are here just to come, work, married, divorce or not, whatever, die. No, I think we all born here with a star of a human being, and that is like a huge gift. But we don't know that. We forget that.
Yeah.
It's like we forget. We're in a dream. We are sleeping. We don't know it. So in my case, I wasted. And those years of forgetfulness of being asleep, I didn't know. I didn't know I was, I had so much value only because I was here and I was alive and I was a woman. This is even a bigger value, I have to say, at least from the tradition that I come from. Mm-hmm. Women is the highest incarnation.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. If you're a woman, that is the highest incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, we have that gift. So, I agree with you. The process of remembering, it can be so painful. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, because you see how asleep I was, how unconscious, how I was hurting myself, or, you know, denying myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that process is painful. It's like peeling the onion, no?
Yeah.
One layer, another layer, and then you... I also studied a lot of family constellations, and it's another way I work with people, and I love it so much, as much as Kundalini Yoga. Because family constellation shows me also how my mother also treated herself, and maybe my grandmother, and maybe my great-grandmother, and maybe some things that I was doing that were abusing or that were painful.
Mm-hmm.
Other women in my lineage already, of course, were in a situation of pain or disadvantage, and maybe that is epigenetics.
Yeah.
That is how information travels in the genes. So as you're peeling the onion with yourself, also you start seeing backwards. And that is also painful, but beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Because family constellation gives us the opportunity to honor
mm-hmm.
all those women, you know, and to say, I honor all the pain that you went through, all the losses, all the fights, but now I have the chance to live differently, and I'm going to do it for all of you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of changing the epigenetics of your whole lineage that will come.
Yeah, exactly.
You make a new, it's again a new narrative mm-hmm. for new identities
yeah.
to come.
Yeah.
So you can do it in a big way, like, oh, we want to contribute to Mallorca, new narrative, new tourism, new experiences, but also you can do it with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
New narrative with yourself, new way of treating and defining yourself, also new chemistry in your body, and then new generations.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to start, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting, your work, which also shows that like everything is connected.
Yes.
And I find it beautiful that you say it's about also valuing their experience, like the experience of these women.
Always. Men and women that came before us, honestly, I have seen through family constellations, you could say the worst cases, like, I don't know, it's like you see terrible tragedies.
Mm-hmm.
And then, honestly, even with the worst situation, you get to see how everyone was doing whatever they were able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even the worst people who you think it's a tyrant, who you think was like, and then you see the implication that person had is in its own system and in its own culture and everything, and you understand that honestly that person couldn't do it. It was like, oh my God, it's all they were able to do. And then you stop judging, because what's the point of judging? It's only a waste of your neurons. You will not change anything. It's only a waste of energy and neurons, and you can debate on so many things, and things will be as they are. So I think the only way to change reality is, as many, many very enlightened people have said, is the only way is to change yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reality you can honestly change. And that one takes a lot of effort and discipline and commitment and humility. And if you do that to yourself, then you can start thinking about how you change the environment. But if we don't start with ourselves, how can then we talk about so much changing outer things? So that is also the purpose of this place, as you were saying, School of Consciousness, Sadhana Works, is inviting people to a place where they start with themselves in order to be able to have an impact first in their families, then their communities, then their city, then their place. And so I believe in that kind of change that starts with each individual.
Yeah. And I really believe in that kind of community also.
Yes.
Like I really do think that we have to go back to smaller communities that happen in real life and not like huge Instagram communities where there are online gatherings and stuff. I mean, like why? We are many, so why not like meet in small communities where you live?
It's so powerful when we come together. We were just talking about this after the session this morning, the Kundalini yoga class. This is exactly what one of the practitioners was telling me, is how beautiful it is when we sing together a mantra, when you lie down and you listen to the gong in a group. It's like something so magical happens. I don't know, for me, I see it like the earth rejoices. Mother Earth, when we come together, it's like a big mother seeing all their children playing happy. It's the same. Mother Earth is a big mama, you know, and she rejoices when we come together and we, you know, take hands and just sing mantra or practice, or we're there concentrating. And I think it makes a whole difference. I agree with you. And this island is the perfect setting for that, no?
Yeah, it is.
To really bring people close. And we have so many beautiful landscapes or places like this one here in the heart of Palma that you can come and just be together. It's not that speed like other cities. I mean, I come from Mexico City. The longer you spend with someone, it's in the car. So I think this island honestly allows to have another pace and also another way of interacting with each other.
Yeah.
I think this should be more the future of evolution, is to slow down instead of speed up. But we don't know what will happen with that, because the world is going so fast, no? And the technology changing so rapidly that we think we have to speed up. Whereas in reality, in order to match that, for our nervous system to update, like to have the capacity to integrate all that information that it's going on around, we need the opposite.
To slow down,
We need a very healthy, strong nervous system. And that requires slow down, cold showers. From my perspective, Kundalini yoga, it's a very effective way to update your nervous system to all the changes that are going around with the technology and all that.
And maybe for everyone out there who doesn't know Kundalini yoga, can you say something about it?
Thank you for bringing that, because I think it's probably it's one of the least known ways of practicing yoga. So we all should be very grateful that yoga became so popular in the West. Like, I think everybody now knows the word yoga, right? You can even practice yoga in most of the gyms. And so it's good. It came from East to West, and now it's very popular yoga. And out of the different kind of yogas, there is this yoga called Kundalini yoga. And the reason that it's the least known is because Kundalini yoga was prohibited to be taught to women and to men of lower castes in India. because it's the yoga of awakening, it's the yoga of consciousness, it's the yoga of personal transformation. So all yogas are so powerful and important. The difference with Kundalini yoga is that it will trigger or awaken your own Kundalini energy. Mm-hmm. Kundalini energy is known to be the energy of enlightenment. Mm-hmm. It's the energy that each individual has in its nervous system at the base of the spine. Mm-hmm. And it's represented in all cultures like the serpent, mm-hmm. the snake. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see it in the Mayan culture, you see it, of course, in India, you see it in Egypt, you see it in all cultures, you see it even in the symbol of the medicine. Yeah, yeah. The snake represents the awakening of your consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's why Eva and Adam and Eve, tempted by the knowledge, tempted by the snake. Mm-hmm. Right? So the snake represents knowledge. Mm-hmm. But what's knowledge? It's not library, it's not knowledge, it represents the awakening of your true power, which is huge as an individual, as a human being. Yeah. That's why they always kept this knowledge secret. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is the era where awakening, it's like for everybody. It wasn't like that before. In the Piscean era, which was just a few years ago, and for many centuries, that kind of knowledge of self-initiation, self-awakening, it wasn't for everybody. It was hidden.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but now is the time where that information must be open and for everybody. So Kundalini yoga, it will always be represented by the snake. Mm-hmm. You see it in all classes. I have many books here, and you see Kundalini, there's a snake. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Kundalini yoga, Kundalini representing your own primordial energy of self-initiation, mm-hmm. self-awakening. Mm-hmm. It's it is very powerful. And it is very weird also. It's true, I always say in my classes, who's new to Kundalini? If there's no one that is new, I say, okay, then I don't have to go through the weird explanation of all the kind of exercises that we'll do. And why is weird? It's only weird because it's not familiar, not because anything that it's weird, it's only because it's not familiar, because everything that we do can be weird.
Yeah, for sure.
It's only that either it's more familiar or not. So the way we are kind of introduced to yoga in the West, we're more familiar with other kinds of yoga like Hatha, Vinyasa, Ashtanga, and the least known is Kundalini. And the way we practice, because we practice a lot with breath, mantra and movement. Mm-hmm. Those are the three pillars of awakening. Mm-hmm. Breath, mantra, movement. Breath, mantra, movement. If put together in a certain way, that it will activate that energy within yourself. You will become that person you're meant to be. An awakening being. Yeah. Not a superwoman flying on the sky. No, only an awakened woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they'll say, there is nothing more powerful in this universe than a woman that realizes who she is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is a woman who's awakened. Yeah. So I feel that this practice brings you to that path very fast. Mm-hmm. So for me as a psychotherapist, for example, I don't do the talk anymore. I don't do the hours and hours talking. I don't do that anymore because I don't believe in that, because we will trick ourselves, we will lie to ourselves. I've tried it with myself, with my client. Yeah. So now I only use tools that bring me very quickly to the subconscious.
Yeah.
Either family constellations, mm-hmm. craniosacral therapy when it comes to memories stuck in your body, or Kundalini yoga to move fast the subconscious. It's like very quickly you will start feeling like, whoa, People cry a lot in Kundalini yoga classes. Mm-hmm. I cried, and I still cry in Kundalini many times, sometimes out of joy, sometimes out of realization of, wow, this is beautiful, wow. Sometimes out of a memory that it just came through my body because of the practice. So it really cleans the subconscious mind, and it really gives you that capacity. So Kundalini yoga, it will also help you have enough energy and strength in your system to deal with life. Because life is not easy. Life, it requires that you become that warrior kind of energy. And Kundalini yoga will give you that one for sure. So that's why I'm in love with this practice more and more. And I laugh now because when I grew up, my mom became a Kundalini yoga teacher. When I was six, my parents got divorced, and she was heartbroken and very sad. And some friends of her, very alternative friends, told her, you should go try this class with Gurudev, a teacher in Mexico, who then became our beloved teacher and master and very important in our lives. So she went to that class and she found Kundalini yoga, and something happened to her that happens many times when we practice Kundalini, that it was like, wow, wow, I want more of this. What is this? And then she trained herself, and she became one of the first Kundalini yoga teachers in Mexico in the 80s. Mm-hmm. That was so weird. I mean, if it's weird now, imagine back then. Oh my God, and she was wearing white and her turban, and I'll talk why we wear the turban. It has nothing to do with religion at all. Mm-hmm. It's more holding the energy together and keeping yourself and being queen. But in those days was so weird, and I was laughing because honestly, when I was a teenager, I was like, I will never be a Kundalini yoga teacher. Of course, I was like, no, I'll never be like my mom. You know, we always say that. And now here I am teaching Kundalini yoga. Wow. Yeah. Thanks to her. So I bow to her. Wow. I bow to her courage of being so different in those years, even though, I'm putting some tea here, even though back then I was like, oh no, that's so weird, I'll never be like her. I wanted to be like, you know, a writer, a scholar, and the psychotherapist. And then look at me, I'm wearing my turban right now because we finished class. Yeah, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a beautiful explanation of Kundalini yoga. Thank you.
No, thank you. I hope you get more inspired to keep your practice.
Yeah, yeah. I see the effect it has on me.
Yeah.
And I really had no idea what to expect before. I never did it before. Yeah. I just remember the first day I came with a headache. Mm. And it was gone, like after 15 minutes. And I felt so fresh. Yeah. After the session.
Wonderful, amazing. But also it talks about how sensitive you are to your own energy.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Wow. Mm. Very sensitive to your own energy. So you learned how there are tools to regulate your energy that you can immediately... Not all of us are so sensitive to our own energies. For some people it takes longer maybe to realize, like, oh, if I do this, I can take the headaches away. But in your case, it shows that you are very sensitive to your own energy, but also, of course, brings some responsibility to it. And I'm sure you know, if you probably expose yourself to certain situations, I'm sure you feel bad very easily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or low, or... Because if it had that effect so quickly, it means that then you are sensitive to whatever, the way the energy goes for you.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I never saw it like that. It makes sense, yeah.
So I'm sure also on the opposite side, like if you are in a party or place or situation that it's not suitable for your energy, you would immediately feel it as well after probably the same 15 minutes.
Yeah, 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 it's true. It's true.
So there you know, now you know something new about yourself, that it's important to regulate for you how you kind of use that.
Yeah.
And how you take care of it. And but it's wonderful, because then if you become aware, and people who are out there with the same situation, if you become aware that you're that sensitive to your own energy and you commit to that, then you can become a healer. You have that capacity of having an impact with your energy in others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the qualities of the healer, of the energy, that of the people who has healing capacities. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that you have to study craniosacral or Reiki or this or that. You're only your presence, if it's aligned, becomes a good medicine for your environment. Mm-hmm. But you have to be very aligned. Yeah. With your energy. Also happens in the opposite side. If you're off, people probably feel it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And many people are like you. And more and more, more and more. But not everybody. Some people, like me, require more work with our energies to find how it really works.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing, energies. Because also we feel the energies of other people, and we cannot really grasp it.
Yeah, we just get the effects,
hangover
of energy.
Yeah, in that direction. Or also that we meet someone and say, oh, that's, we find words like charismatic.
Mm. I remember when you asked me, and this also gives me a clue on how you are very sensitive to energy, because I remember when you said, why don't we do a podcast? I'm fascinated by your energy. And you mentioned energy. You didn't say the class or this or the technology. You said energy.
Mm.
So, and that I said, oh, she's sensitive to energies, very sensitive. And now that you mentioned that in the first class you had headache and in 15 minutes you had an effect, also that gives you another clue on how sensitive you are to energy. And what we're saying, also on the opposite, mm-hmm. people like you, and more people will be like you, because this era of the Aquarian age that we just started now, it coincides with the Mayan calendar, and it's, you know, it's like all the sages talked about this era right now, that we are starting a new era. Of a new way of being human beings on Earth. So one of the characteristics of the Aquarian age is that we will know more through energy, through vibration. So I always say in my class to the people practicing together, I always say, people will know you from your aura. People will know you from your magnetic field, your vibration, your frequency. That's how we will start recognizing each other. So forget about printing those cards of presentation. Only if you want people to remember you. But it's not the way people will know you anymore.
No.
People will know you for your frequency.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because that is one of the qualities that we are entering this era. That's why also technology goes so fast. But technology, it's all about information, frequency, interaction of energy. That goes fast. This is the area of technology. But why? Because this is the area of information, energy. This is it. But we also are that. We are also energy, information, frequency, vibration.
Yeah.
So we will, if you understand the new times and you practice and you go towards that, you become also that field of energy, information, vibration that people recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And people like you that are very sensitive to energies, it's like you were already kind of on that era. Probably growing up was hard for you and for people like you, like feeling so many things and not understanding why you're feeling so many things, or perceiving, or adults telling you one thing and probably you knew they were lying. But then you felt like guilty, because it's like, no, my dad or mom or uncle or teacher or whoever is telling me something, but I know. Mm-hmm. there's something wrong here, there's something off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because you were perceiving the energy, but then you feel weird.
Mm.
Yeah. You put it on yourself, you blame yourself, like, oh my God. Yeah. So I always tell my children now, because I have kids, three kids, and they're 14, 15, 16, so they were born in the area of Aquarius. They were born now with this new software. So I always tell them, trust. If you feel it's wrong, even if it's me telling you or a teacher, like, no, whatever. If you feel like there's something that it's not right or not truth, you have to trust that, because what you're reading is the magnetic field. Yeah. You're reading another layer. Yeah. And that is what it's real. That's why it's so hard to hide now.
Yeah, that's true.
People can't hide.
Yeah, that's true.
It's impossible. You'll be seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so interesting to me that nobody tells you about things like that, or it's just starting to be conversations about things like that, but it's still, yeah.
Still not out there so much. But it will be more and more, I think, the more like this, like we're having this conversation right now in your podcast. I mean, imagine, that is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago, this was prohibited even to talk about these kind of things. Like Kundalini was prohibited until the 70s. Mm. Yeah, it's nothing to teach to women or other. So forget about talking about frequencies and as human beings, it was like only few people. But now I think we are more and more towards those conversations. And I think as a mother, it's important that we explain to our children, if whoever is a mother out there, that it's more real, you know, frequency, vibration, energy, non-verbal communication, all that kind of thing, all those kind of things, those are assets. Because if they learn to maneuver that, they will have a lot of assets. Instead of, anyway, they will feel it. But if you deny, they will feel like, I'm weird.
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo. The way we all grew up, if whoever we had this capacity to feel, like, oh my God, I'm a weirdo.
Yeah, exactly. Something's wrong with me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You blame it in yourself, and then you harm yourself, no, or abuse yourself, like alcohol or any other way of escaping yourself. Because how can I be with myself if I'm so weird?
Yeah.
Whereas if you now realize weird is the new normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you don't need to hide or harm yourself or deny yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So more and more I invite people to engage in any activity that brings you more into your truth. Mm-hmm. Like this kind of practices we're talking about right now, not like Kundalini or family constellations or craniosacral therapy. And there are so many very good teachers out there, very good family constellators out there, very good craniosacral therapists. I mean, if you come to Mallorca, of course, here Sadhana works. Absolutely. But anywhere you can find very, very talented people, amazing therapists, teachers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's always a way to find a path for your realization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
And when you look back, when you founded Sadhana Works some years ago, I mean, how was that? Did you have experience with something like that and you just knew how to do everything? Or was it like, oh, no idea what I'm doing here?
Yeah, keep learning. You saw me this morning with the reception. No, I keep learning. I think I'm learning a lot by running it. I had an amazing friend here in the island and teacher. Her name was Guru Jagat. She opened a studio and she was a very powerful woman. And when I moved to the island, I wasn't teaching Kundalini yoga, even though my mom was a teacher and I grew up with the Kundalini yoga community and my teacher Gurudev, of course, and Yogi Bhajan, we went to the camps. I mean, that's where I grew up. But when I moved to the island 6 years ago, I was passing by a street here and suddenly I saw this huge picture of Yogi Bhajan, who was the man who brought all this knowledge from India to California, and he was sentenced to death because he opened the knowledge, and then he was forgiven, and then he became like kind of the Pope for the West, and well, long story. But then I saw this picture, and because I grew up with that image and then the camps that we used to go, I saw that picture and I started crying in the street, Santa Catalina, and it was the studio that Guru Jagat opened, I think 6 years ago or seven. So it was recently open. And so I joined the studio and I started practicing Kundalini yoga at Rama. And I started to have all these experiences of really kind of crying, like feeling I coming back home, away from home, because I was not in Mexico, I was here in Mallorca. But the mantras, the sound, the exercise, I used to call my mom like, oh my God, I recognize all this. And I came, it was like a process, a whole year, I would say, the first year that I was here, it was all about coming back. And Guru Jagat, she used to live in LA and New York, and she would come eventually. And every time she would come here, she would talk about running your business and having your studio and having a conscious business. And for me, it was like, she talking about, because for me it was far, like I was still doing my practice, then I was doing my teacher training, and then slowly came the idea, like, oh my God, sadhana works. And it came in a meditation, clearly in an early morning meditation before the sun rises. I always do my practice, and it was like, sadhana works, this is conscious lifestyle company, the way we do everything in Mallorca, but in another perspective, even sailing, walking, like all the things people come to here, but with consciousness, like it started to build up. And now everything that she talked about, running your own business, having a conscious business, everything now it starts to tick, 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 yeah. Tick. Come down into myself, and I understand it more and more. And sadly, she left her physical body. So she left me with a lot of inspiration, among many, many other friends and mentors and teachers that I have met. Now I have Gurmukh very close to my life, who's another big fountain of inspiration for me. But I think running your own business, and I'm sure people who are listening and have their own business, or even you with your podcast and all the things that you do, you know it's an organism. Mm. It's alive.
Yeah, it is.
It has its own energy.
Yeah.
It's like you create that. It's kind of Frankenstein in a good, positive way. Yeah. But you create that. But that thing you create starts to have its own frequency, own energy, own ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And it starts to expand. And then I have to grow up to match the energy of that thing that it's starting to grow bigger than myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like I'm serving something that I created, but now I'm of service to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
So now it's this thing called sadhana works that exists there, and that it has its own way and its own energy, and I feel it's a very feminine energy. We just changed the logo.
Ah.
I came out with this first logo. People cannot see it, but I came out with this first logo because when I created, I came with the idea that I'm going to do something that looks corporate. Like, why does yoga and Kundalini has to be always like so on the edge? I want something that is like mainstream and corporate. And now that looks so old.
Yeah, you think?
Well, with the new energy, with what it feels like, that thing, sadhana work, starts it became something much more like it's feminine and it's sensual and it has to do with rebirthing, and now it's gold and it looks like a crown and an angel, and it's so different.
I'm excited to see it.
Yes, you can now see it, it's everywhere. So it's so different now, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. something that it's own nature.
Yeah, yeah. So absolutely. And each and every project, it doesn't even have to be like a company, like each and every project you do can become like that.
I think art must be the same, right? When you start doing a painting, you have an idea. But if you allow the energy to guide you, the painting will go its own way. Yeah. And you end up serving that, or writing, or your blog, your podcast that we're doing right now. I'm sure you created it with an idea. Mm-hmm. And now I'm sure it has its own kind of frequency. And now you have to work for that thing that you created. You are of service for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You become an artist in a way.
Yeah. And I mean, for example, with the podcast, we are 2 years now that we are doing it. And just recently, not so long ago, I was really able to let it just go, you know, and just do it because it gives me joy and it's something playful I do. But I don't expect any outcome.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then I bet it grows more.
Yeah, let's see.
I am sure that it will grow more the more you relax into that letting, you know, allowing whatever it's destiny to be, mm-hmm. of that brand, that name, that you say, okay, I'll let you be. And then it's like a plant. It will go its own way.
And that was such a hard process for me with all this conditioning, like being very conditioned in a way that I always need to perform and do something.
I think we come more from a masculine training, right? On running a business or creating a project. And I'm not saying in a negative way. We need the masculine energy inside ourselves always. But I think we were more accustomed to think that that was the way of doing things. And suddenly, because this change of era, we start to notice that even with companies and projects, the way we manage, it changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It becomes more about the community, more about energy, as we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel men are also learning a lot.
Oh yeah, they are.
Struggling and learning a lot, because it's like even with big companies, they start to shift. They start to notice that it's needed, that something different comes into the organization, the way the community interacts. I mean, there are amazing, amazing companies run by men, of course, that are kind of coming into this new way of doing, and I think it's great what it's coming out. Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see where Sadhana Works wants to grow to. I have no idea. You'll see me just working, serving. Yeah. I have no idea where it'll go. I just hope it really contributes for that thing that I told you at the beginning, that idea of bringing more people who are looking for a better way of life and a connection to themselves to come to Mallorca and have that lifestyle, conscious lifestyle, as it's called.
Mm. Yeah, and have that space.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's important.
That's find something, the space, the community, the activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll be here doing that, so hopefully many of you can join that.
Yeah,
because the more we come together, the better.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. And there is one question we are asking all our podcast guests, and this question is, Mariana, what's your shout out? What's your message to all the listeners out there?
I think for me a deep thing is never be afraid to go deeper, further, whatever road that means, to become more of who you are. Never be afraid. It doesn't matter if it takes a lot, changing job, changing country, changing partners. I know sometimes takes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But you will never, never regret that.
No, no.
But it takes courage. So that's why I say never be afraid to do whatever it takes. Your soul is calling you, follow that. Just do it. This staying will cause you more pain on the long run.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think it's something we tend not to see, that staying costs us more, because it doesn't seem like that at the first glance. Maybe we realize after years and years that there's actually a high price. But yeah, it's
many visits to the doctor might tell you that it wasn't a good idea to stay against your soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Calling.
Yeah.
So before that happens, I just say jump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jump and fly.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Mariana.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for having me and inviting me to be part of your community. And we're here to support you, and also whatever you want to do here in Savannah Works, you're welcome, you, your community, everything. And we're here to support you and all your sisters.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And amazing that you shared so much with us in this conversation about your personal experience, mm-hmm. about your experience as a teacher. I think that's very valuable. And we will also put all the links, of course, to the website and Instagram. And so whenever the people out there, whenever you are in Palma, just come by for a drop-in class.
Sure.
Say hi.
Totally. Welcome. Thank you so much.
See you soon.
See you soon.